and welcome to the world of Avatar. My name is Paul, and these guys call me their Game Master. And you're listening to Pokemon Rollout, a real play tabletop. It's not a Pokemon United podcast. It's actually an Avatar Legends role-playing game podcast. What's your name?
I'm Michael, and I play Xi, the Adamant.
Nick, I play He Jing, the Icon.
I'm Hannah, and I play Hanu, the Guardian.
As a quick reminder here, those are our main characters, but just in case, I'm also playing the GMPC Kohala, and hopefully this isn't coming too late after the last episode was published about this, so hopefully you remember kind of all the details of those characters. I know we spent a good amount of time character building with them. So if not, if you're this is the first episode you're coming to for this, go back, listen to that thing. It's fun, I think.
Wait, you haven't listened to it yet?
I actually have not. So, anyway, as a quick recap, though, last episode, our protagonists were sent to recover a piece of cargo that was taken by the Pirates of the Crimson Isle, which was headed to the Earth Kingdom and had some political sway. If it didn't make it to the Earth Kingdom, it would be really bad for the Fire Kingdom, the Fire Nation. And so they made it onto the Crimson Sails. They talked with Mossy, yes, Captain Mossy, who is the captain of the Dancing Nobleman Fleet. He took a liking to some of the characters, especially Xi, and some of Xi's boldness there.
What's not to like?
And after getting some details from Captain Mossy about kind of where to go, they walked along the docks and they interrogated. In fact, He Jing's mongoose lizard helped interrogate a sailor to find out where this cargo might be held. And they rode the mongoose lizard to the captain's isle, which is a cave inside of a lagoon where that treasure is being held. And as soon as they are starting to make their way out of the cave with the treasure, with this cargo, rather, is probably the better way to phrase it, they were approached by two pirates who were starting to sound the alarm. Does anyone have anything else to the recap to add to?
I think that sums it up.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. So let's go ahead and get started here. So what had happened was, yes, these two pirates came and they had seen what you guys were trying to do. And so I think they said something like, "Hey, what are you guys doing? You can't take that." And one of them runs off to go, is running off to go tell the other people what's going on.
This is important for me. As we engage, is that person turning to run off or have they already run off?
I'm going to say that they have already run off.
Then never mind my plan entirely. I'll have to rethink of something.
Stick the mongoose lizard on them.
Tell you what, a side question here. What is your plan? Because maybe it's fun.
Wall of Perfection. Create a perfect wall of defense around yourself and any allies directly next to you. Mark one fatigue to block a single attack towards the wall, or keep an enemy at bay who tries to penetrate the wall. I get behind them. Wall of Perfection. They don't leave. So in other words, I get behind him. I hold him here so that we don't have a widespread alarm.
My only worry about that is that then we've got more people to fight when we're trying to get away ourselves. And
if he runs the alarm, we've got a fleet to fight.
If they catch us.
We're in the center of them. They have ships. We have a lizard.
I'm going to say so. So that specifically, Nick, would be something to use in combat. And because that's under defendant and maneuver, I'm going to say that no, he is not actually in the combat. He is going to go off and he is going to sound the alarm. Yep. So with that, the one pirate then is going to try and be a little bit brave, and he's going to try and...
But you keep your choice secret, right?
Yep, until we choose what we're doing.
So I guess the question for you guys, I know we've kind of prepped this up here, but we don't have to go into combat. Like, if you guys want to try and resolve this another way with this one pirate that's here right now and see what you can do, you can. We don't have to go into combat if you don't want to.
She is ready to combat, okay. So if the other two want to pick something else, that's fine, but she's ready to go.
Our attempts at deception earlier did not get very far, so I say just fight.
All right, fighting it is. Excellent. Okay, we are in combat. Let me go ahead and see what my one NPC that I have right now is going to do. I have chosen my approach.
Okay. I have an idea. It goes on that when I fight beside my animal companion, mark one fatigue to become favored for an exchange. So I can choose an additional basic or master technique on the next exchange, even on a miss. Meaning that I get to use two techniques instead of one, regardless of what it is. The biggest issue is He Jing rolls passion at a negative one. Which, is this person large or powerful?
I wouldn't say so. I'd say this person is average to maybe slight. I didn't imagine this person.
Yeah, I would say since he is random pirate A, I didn't expect him to be so.
Oh, well, this is actually random pirate B. Random pirate A ran off to alert everybody else.
I see. Because Balbo did not technically follow us into the cave. He was waiting.
Okay.
Is the rest of it? I think. I don't remember exactly, but
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, could we say that he was like waiting in the water and then if we roll good enough, just have him sick the lizard?
Yeah, because then. Because the thought process I was having was to do something like seize a position, again, try to keep this person from. Actually, we should all just seize a position because then we just escape the scene. We just book it. Just run right past the guy. But
everyone, run away!
So for those who are listening here, just to talk about the combat system, what happens here is, and I already told everyone this off air, but basically what happens is I, as the GM, I choose an approach. And there are three different approaches that people can use. They can go with defend and maneuver, attack and advance, and evade and observe. And all of those different methods have like three other things that go along with those. So what I did first is I chose what I'm going to do. I did that in secret. And now the three of them are choosing their what they're going to do. That's the second step.
The thing is, with our various focus rolls and checks, literally, like, defend and maneuver and literally running away might be our most, like, numerically advantageous option. But, the biggest thing is that the foe could mark three fatigue and hold us in place. But, at the same time, that would mark three fatigue on the foe. And what I could do is, I could do that as seize a position, and then I could mark a fatigue, give myself favor, and strike, and say Balbo comes up behind him and attacks, because then he would have to mark two fatigue, mark a condition, or shift the balance away. Actually, I could mark two fatigue to force him to mark two extra fatigue, or strike where it's weak. Therefore, we might be able to hit this guy with five fatigue in round one, which I believe is the max.
Yes, that is.
And G wants to hit something.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
G wants to strike.
Hanu probably just wants to pull a giant wave out of the ocean, freeze him there.
The idea I'm having is, again, this person is running to get help. He's probably run past Balbo, so I'm not be able to attack him because he's outside of engagements. Mm-hmm. And with there, would Balbo be able to essentially act as a roadblock for the front of the cave? As in, the pirates have not seen this thing before, so it rearing up and being there, make sure that at least in this conflict, we don't have any other new arrivals. Would that count as like a seize a position type thing? Yeah, it's either overcoming a negative status or danger or establishing an advantageous position is kind of the idea.
What I will say is, I want you to make use of Balbo, so I think that's a really good idea here. I will say that it will, kind of letting you guys peek behind the curtain here, there will be some guys coming soon, but I will have Balbo lessen that threat significantly.
Here's my idea for what He Jing can do. I'm just going to do two defend and maneuver, so I'm going to end up marking two fatigue on myself, but that's not the end of the world. So Balbo will seize a position to lessen the problem of more people arriving, and He Jing will ready, assigning or clearing a fictionally appropriate status of nearby characters for yourself. So
you and Balbo both get to...
When you fight beside your animal companion, mark one fatigue to become favored for an exchange. When you are favored, you're buoyed by circumstance, choose an additional basic or master technique in the next exchange, even on a miss. So I'm able to use two techniques.
Oh.
This is on the next exchange, though, right?
And that is this exchange. I'm favored for this exchange.
When you're favored, then you get to use that on the next exchange.
Then never mind. I don't know what I'm going to do. That significantly decreases the value of favored.
Were you asking about that warning? Would favored mean for this exchange, or would it mean for the next exchange?
I might be mishearing, but I think you're getting the favored condition or status in this exchange, so it would be the exchange after
then
that.
Then I'm not marking fatigue and getting favored. There's no point.
Right.
There.
Like, there's no point to ever use that ability.
I can see maybe an occasion to do that, but I don't think it's...
I'm just going to seize a position then. Balbo's going to guard the entrance. That's all I'll do.
Let's do what you're thinking. If you want to, this is maybe bending the rules a little bit here, but we're here to have fun and not be, not necessarily strictly follow those rules. So I will let you, if you want to mark those two fatigue and be favored for this exchange, I'll let you do that.
If it's so, then yeah, what positive status do you two want?
Maybe empowered?
Can I give you empowered? Sorry, it's fictionally appropriate, but I see what you mean. Yeah, because then you can do that and immediately clear fatigue.
Right. Then my strike is automatically better.
So what two things are you trying to do then? So you're using...
Seize a position and ready. Defend and maneuver. Before I do any of that, I'm realizing something. This is confusing to figure out, but we should pick what category of technique we're going to use and then roll the dice, because... depending on our dice roll, that's the number of techniques we can use.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you just have to choose one of the three options then for right now.
Yeah, if you're going to defend and maneuver, advance and attack, or evade and observe, and then roll your 2d6 and add it together. So
and that's kind of what I was thinking about as well. So once you do that, you're not locked into what you do. You are just choosing which of the three approaches. That's making sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me sort through this. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm doing defend and maneuver, so I'm rolling with focus. I'm going to roll my 2d6 and I add 3.
There's an order thing. So, Nick, you're choosing defend and maneuver for He Jing. Michael, what is Xi doing?
Xi is doing advance and attack.
And Hannah, what is Hanu doing?
Probably an advance and attack as well.
Advance and attack. Okay. So now that we have that, now the next step is I reveal what my approach is going to be, but none of you are opposing. So what I chose...
I thought we would pick the approach first, but okay.
So let me just read through this, make sure I'm not getting anything wrong.
We've picked our category, but we haven't actually picked our approaches, because you have to roll to actually pick the approaches and know what they are. Like, I'm doing defend and maneuver, but I'm not doing ready, retaliate, or seize a position yet. I have to roll to find out if I can or how much I do. And then you'd reveal what you were doing. Because there isn't a step there of, you do that and then you reveal. We have to roll and then decide on what we're doing.
Okay, let me read through it here. The GM chooses an approach... Here, let me look.
Unless 4, 5, and 6 is resolving their approach, that's the rolling. That might be it.
That's what I was assuming.
That's probably it. So never mind. Okay, so that makes more sense. Excuse me.
Let me just read and make sure I understand what an actual... Like, I'm going to look at the glossary and see what approach means.
It says here, under stance move for PCs, when you resolve your approach, roll with the appropriate stat.
Okay, so when you resolve...
So the approach is the big category... of the
right.
Defend and maneuver, advance and attack, or
that's
evade.
Not completely clear, but okay, yeah, that makes sense now. Yeah. So yes, we have chosen, now you revealed. I apologize.
The GM doesn't choose any techniques yet. Yeah, so we don't choose a technique yet. We choose, we're just choosing the approach. The one person, Random Pirate B, has chosen attack and advance. And okay. So now what we do is all combatants who choose defend and maneuver resolve their approach.
So now I will roll with focus, He Jing. So first I'm rolling, it's 2d6. I rolled 12.
12, okay.
Woo!
So I crit on it, plus 3, so actually a total of 15.
Okay, well on a 10 plus, you get to... it says, on a 7 through 9, use one basic or mastered technique. On a 10 plus, which you blew out of the water, you get to choose from this list instead. You can mark one fatigue to use a learned technique. You can use one practiced technique, or use two different basic or mastered techniques. You did not miss. Yeah, so you are welcome to... Go ahead and use two techniques under defend and maneuver.
So here's the fun thing. Because I got two techniques with my roll, if I use Balbo, I actually get to use three techniques because it's one additional.
Ooh.
What I'm going to do is seize a position. So first thing, Balbo is going to guard the front gate and mark sure everything's set up in there. Then I'm going to...
No, really quickly, can you tell me why? So when you fight beside your animal companion, mark one fatigue to become favored for an exchange. And you choose an additional... Okay, so favored, you get to choose an additional basic or master technique, and we said for this exchange.
Balbo's there for that. And then I'm going to mark one fatigue to ready for the environment. That's the mark fatigue to ready. Can I give them empowered? Can they get the positive status empowered? Your abilities are naturally stronger in this moment. Clear one fatigue at the end of an exchange. That's the trick of, like, how would I naturally strengthen your techniques, each of you?
I'm thinking if you can somehow give us a good position with your earthbending, like if you can launch G in the air or something.
Now, let me read about this here, just because, like,
and
so, I know you want empowered, but empowered is, like, the best status.
Yeah, that's the real trick. I think prepared might be more what I can give you, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay.
So empowered is the status for when a waterbender fights under a full moon, or a firebender draws on the strength of Sozin's Comet, or swordsman has been filled with invigorating power of a friendly spirit. So, like, empowered is, like, top tier. So, I don't think that's going to be...
Yeah, that's...
going to
be... Okay.
Yeah, that's a little too much. That's okay.
Moves the moons.
Favored would be funny, but I don't think I can do that one either.
Can't you use your earthbending to just pull a comet in?
And the moon?
Give me empowered.
And a moon, come on.
Yeah,
dude.
Just bring a comet. Yeah.
And the moon? Pull a comet and the moon with your earthbending.
Move celestial things.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that, and then we'll have an entirely different problem on our hands. I'm going to say prepared, because that fits with... So, basically, I'm setting up the terrain so that you guys have more blockages, more things going, and that fits in with paying my second fatigue to activate the partner thing and to create Wall of Perfection. So, perfect wall of defense for myself and any allies directly next to me. And so, if someone attacks, I can block a single attack with one fatigue or keep them at bay who try to penetrate it. So basically, Balbo is guarding the entrance and He Jing sets up defensive ramparts and is prepared to block attacks coming at his allies.
So I think that giving them the prepared is good. I think that's fine. So just to be clear, so you're doing ready, seize a position, and wall of perfection?
And wall of perfection, yes, correct.
Next, folks who...
One heck of a turn.
All combatants who use advance and attack. So that's going to be both Hanu and Ji, as well as Bando for Pirate B, Bando. We've all chosen advance and attack. And it doesn't necessarily say who goes, but we just says we resolve their approach.
Yep, so it basically happens simultaneously, it seems.
All right.
Because this seems to be the way that it goes, how about, I as a GM, I will say what my approach does, and then you guys can choose, decide what to do from there. Does that sound all right?
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Right.
So my pirate guy is going to have, two things that we have him do. First thing he is going to be able to do, Bando, is going to charge an attack, and I think he's going to charge an attack at... we'll have him charge an attack at G.
Is he a bender of him?
So, so under advance and attack...
Is he striking or charge an
so
attack?
So charge is the technique, just like you guys have your techniques.
Oh, okay.
My character has charge. Advance mm-hmm. straight at an enemy to strike them full force. Mark one fatigue to close the distance and engage with an enemy you aren't currently engaged with, inflicting one condition or two fatigue, their choice, and become favored for the next exchange.
Ugh.
So he's already marked one fatigue?
In using that technique, yes. That'll mark one fatigue.
As he's charging forward and marking the one fatigue, He Jing steps into the ground, lifts up his fist, and spends one fatigue to use Wall of Perfection to block. The strike is foiled.
And then the other thing that he is going to do is also going to then even though that is that was blocked. He's also going to continue and strike at G with strike. And this one here, to strike a foe in reach, forcing them to mark to fatigue, mark a condition, or shift their balance away from center, their choice. And I'm not going to mark a fatigue myself. So, is G going to take two fatigue, take in condition, or shift your balance away from your center?
I think I'm going to shift balance. If I remember correctly, I didn't write this down. Was I already moved one away from center?
Yes, you were moved one away from center.
Okay. I was moved one towards results, I think. So it's got to be another one that direction.
So you're going to be at a plus two in restraint, a minus two in result.
Is it? I thought it was the other way.
I had you marked at plus one restraint, minus one results.
Okay, then I am that.
And that resolves Bando's turn.
Great.
Okay, so now, G and Hanu, who would like to resolve their thing next?
I feel like G would be the more reactive type.
Okay, so G, what do you do?
I rolled 13 total for my advance and attack.
Okay.
Nice. That's two techniques.
Apparently you guys don't like Bando at all. What did Bando ever do to you guys?
Everyone's rolling well for some reason.
So I am going to strike first, and I'm going to mark one fatigue for myself in order to force him to mark two fatigue.
Or inflict a condition.
No, I'm going to do two fatigue.
Oh, you get to choose. I forgot.
One fatigue to instead choose to hammer them with your blows, forcing them to mark two fatigue or strike where they are weak, inflicting a condition.
Yep, so I'm going to hammer them with my blows. So, like, fire, 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 fire.
Sparky, sparky, boom, woman.
Mm-hmm. Hell hath no fury like me. Then for my next technique, I'm going to pressure him so that he is not allowed to take the advance and attack approach in the next exchange.
Nice. Okay. You just shut him down with that. All right.
Yeah. Hannah, that's why we have a box. You roll into the box, and the dice stay where they need to be. You gotta roll that three again.
Hey, that's better.
So I've sufficiently terrified him.
I got a 12.
Nice. I think we can rack up five fatigue if you just hammer your with blows, but it's up to you.
Yeah, let's just knock him out.
First strike to hammer blows, so you mark a fatigue.
So actually, let's dial this back just a little bit here. Michael, would you like to describe what G is doing as she attacks?
Yeah, so it's very dance-like. You know, she's got the bangles on her wrists and her ankles and such, so she's doing, like, almost gymnastic flips and twists and things while she's dancing around, and so fire's coming out of her fists, but then as soon as you think her fists are done, then it comes out of her feet, and so he's just flailing back as this fire is coming, and then she stands up in a furied halo of fire so that he's shivering back in terror.
I was gonna say, someone was watching the Olympics today.
Simone Biles!
All right, excellent. And Hanu, what are you doing to attack Bando, the poor pirate's random person?
So Hanu starts chucking a lot of icicle shards at him, sort of creating a cage-like thing around him. Cage of large icicle shards.
Okay.
And one of them glances him in the head, knocking him out.
Well, you don't get to decide if he gets knocked out or not. That's what I do. Decide.
Let him go down!
But, with that, so you strike Bando, and he does mark two more fatigue for that. So, your attacks were able to take Bando out. He was summarily taken out by this flurry of attacks from you folks here. So because that exchange went so well, I'm going to give you about a turn's worth of to do something before the random pirate Albert, before he was able to go and summon some more people to come deal with you. So I'll give you guys about a turn of an exchange to try and do something.
You just get on Balbo and cheese it.
Let's go.
Run!
We gotta get out of here.
Funny thing, and this is completely sad, you can ignore this. I was reading through my interesting thing. So Heejing the Icon, he has burdens and traditions. One of the prohibitions in his burden and tradition is never steal or cheat. Are we stealing?
No, they stole first.
Yeah, that's the thing. That like we're taking back by proper requisition with an offer from the Fire Lord himself, or by the command of the Fire Lord himself. So if not, then it doesn't do anything. If it does, then I'd have to. There's things that I'd do. But
if Ji sees Heejing kind of worried about this, she's gonna put a hand on his shoulder and say, "Don't worry, Heejing. They stole first, and two stealings makes a non-stealing."
I mean, you could also say that that old childhood saying that possession is 9/10 of the law. So right now, the pirates do possess it. You are, however you want to morally think about this, it's up to you.
The thing it would end up with is that if I did it, then Heejing would have the guilty condition and would go from 1 point towards roll to 1 point towards freedom instead. That would be the biggest change. Because he's breaking a prohibition, and so that would be kind of the two things that would be.
I don't think Heejing would have issues with this, because you are doing this under the direction of Fire Lord Zuko. You're doing it under the rule of law. I mean, it's up to you if you want to do that, but I'm not going to make you.
It's a direct command, so I think it all makes perfect sense. So, okay, we are running onto Balbo and trying to book it out of there. And I'm guessing this doesn't count as traveling via our animal companion, because if it did, we'd clear all fatigue, but we're not moving far enough.
I'm just trying to decide if I want you guys to roll anything to be able to take this thing, because I think we established before it was a fairly hefty treasure chest.
Yes, Heejing was earthbending it to move.
Okay, yes, okay.
That's right.
So Heejing was earthbending it into play, so he had put it down when the fight started, but then lifts it back up and keeps moving.
Could Hanu do a rely on your skills and training with a focus roll to sort of water speed Balbo?
Balbo. So you're saying, like, trying to have
Balbo. Balbo the lizard. Bravest little lizard of them all.
So just remember, Balbo is not, like, while Balbo is, I'll let you guys, I think you swam on Balbo before. Mm-hmm. Balbo is not, like, a seafaring vessel. Yep. So you're not going to be able to, like, you're still going to have to, like, get onto your boat. Just realize that here. But let's start with this here. Nick, would you object for me asking you to roll a rely on your skills and training again to see if you're able to...
I was going
to
ask about that. That is perfectly fine by me.
And let me just throw out this here. Does anyone want to just help make sure that this goes well? What would you be rolling with, Nick, on this?
Focus,
yes.
Which he has.
I give +3 to focus.
Okay, so I was going to ask if anyone wanted help, but no one probably needs to help you on this.
Don't worry, I also rolled a 3 and a 6, which is a 9, plus 3 is 12.
So that is a full success on this. It doesn't say anything else on this, so yeah, you do. You are able to earth bend. You are able to kind of get a little bit of a wave going on this in the ground, and so you earth bend this, and I assume you want to get it onto Balbo's back?
Okay. Yes, and I'd be essentially holding it in place while we move, because putting the entire hefty thing on the back of the mongoose lizard with the rest of us might be doable, but we don't have anything to lash it in place, so I'm just holding it as we move.
You're kind of sitting on Balbo's back, and you're kind of sitting on Balbo's back as you do it?
What if we create an iceberg, and I'll just shoot some fire out our back?
I see we're doing the D&D version, how we got to the island.
So in the episode that we did before this, Hannah, we did a thing where one of our characters created an iceberg, and my character used, it was called Eldritch Blast, to power us and just kind of like rocket us through the
through the water. Let's do it
again! Okay, so anyways, I like that you're on Balbo, and Hannah, you said you wanted to try and rely on your skill and training to try and help Balbo through the water. So as a group, decide, like, where do you want to go for this? Like, where do you...
We did bring a ship, so we're trying to get back to the ship, is what I would say, so that we can get on that.
I was going to say, second star to the right, straight on until the morning.
Back to the ship, so then we can start the boat chase.
Okay, yeah, you guys can absolutely get, can absolutely do that. Hannah, let's have you go and roll, roll your focus to see if you can help Balbo do that. Oh, good, you're using the dice box. Excellent.
I have a 7...
Plus your focus of...
3.
Okay, so that's a 10. That's a full success. You do it.
Nice.
So you guys are just going to try and go... So you guys are going to kind of, are going to try and go like around the island and go where your boat was? Or... And just like kind of hop on it that way?
See, we have a couple of options, but the way I'm thinking is we're on kind of like a boat colony. We don't know how many boats are going to be mobilized for this, how many ships are going to be going. But they are pirates, which means they are going to be having fast ships... and are running with this. So I don't know how much trying to outmaneuver them will help. Straight as an arrow and then running as fast as we can makes the most sense to me. Just straight shot to the ship, get on it, and book it. We'll probably have to...
that would be whether that'd be over the lashed together boats on the docks? Or do you just try and do it, like, water-wise?
Potentially, we could try to hide under the docks.
Water-wise, so yeah. Under the docks.
Under the docks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, under the docks, straight as an arrow. Just, yep, just under the docks, straight as an arrow, just getting there as fast as possible. I fully expect, due to them being pirates and everything, that no matter how much of a head start we get, there might be at least one or two ships, maybe more, that catch up to us as we're running. But I'd rather be running than sitting docked at the pirate's home base when they start fighting us.
Okay, the one thing I would say about this, and maybe you can convince me of a role to kind of go through this here, but while there are some docks, and while there, remember, it's basically a bunch of broken down ships lashed to an island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you want to try it, and if you can convince me of a role, we'll do it. But I feel like you'd get more lost and disoriented trying to go under things in this particular scenario rather than if you're trying to go, like, around.
I guess I'm thinking, what's the fastest way to get to our ship? Not thinking of, like, going around the island over that. What is the fastest way to get from where we are to our ship? By sea, because getting out of the ocean is going to be more problematic than having Hanu speeding us along.
Sure.
And Hijing only having to focus on holding onto the cargo. The other option we have, if these are a bunch of broken down ships all lashed together, we have a fire bender.
That you do, yeah.
I smell ropes burning.
And we could use a distraction. Especially with you leaning into results, and therefore consequences don't matter too much to Z right now.
I like that idea. Here's what I'll say. I like the idea of you guys coming up with a distraction. I think that's a fun idea. What I would say is I'm envisioning two paths here. Either you can take the cargo up onto the dock, and I'll let you get it onto the dock without having to do too many rolls and whatnot here. That will be a little more direct, but you may run into a few more people... Let me take that back. You'll be better at your bending abilities.
Well, Hijing won't, but
you'll run into more interference, basically. Or you can try and go around the island swimming with Balbo swimming, but you'll be more vulnerable to some attacks in that manner. Those are kind of those are the two paths I'm seeing. Now, if you want to, like I said, if you wanted to have some sort of a role to help you one way or another, or this distraction idea, I think it's a really cool plan.
I like the distraction.
I'd say if Xi can set fire to something, and it's very funny because Hijing would probably be like, this is a bad idea, don't do this.
Can she set fire to something? Yeah.
Like, because, you know, regardless of whether these are pirates or not, setting fire to a bunch of ships in the middle of the ocean
is fun!
Is very easy to become deadly to people. And so, Hijing would be...
It's a beautiful disaster.
Hijing would be mildly against it, but probably wouldn't say anything at this point, but I still think it's a good idea. If Xi set fire to something, then we could take the ocean route and kind of circle around it, I think, while people are being more distracted by heading towards the fire.
And maybe if Xi set fire to one of the docks closer to there, it would bring them away from our ship.
I am trying to think mechanically a little bit about this, too, and looking at the various moves.
Yep, I'm looking at those, too.
One thing I'm leaning towards trick.
That's what I was thinking, too, yeah.
Okay.
Because really, that's what you're like, trying.
Roll with create.
Yeah, that's what you're really trying to do. Yeah. I mean, I suppose this is kind of relying on your skills and talents, but you're, like, you're saying you're trying to create a distraction. You're trying to get pirates to be distracted from what you are doing, and trying to escape, mm-hmm. and having them try and, do that. So I think trick is probably an appropriate way to do this.
We would probably want them to act foolishly.
Yeah, act foolishly, maybe overcommit also.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think here, like...
Depending on what I roll, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about how I want to handle this, because, like, you're not going to trick the, like, the entire docks. Like, I feel like the captains are going to be too smart for this, but
sure.
You can probably get some people who might be trying to attack you otherwise.
Yeah, especially if we're going out or trying to avoid attacks, having the majority of people focused on that will make it a lot harder for us to be attacked in the water, at least to start out. Acting foolishly would mean that they'd ignore us and we'd be able to slip past. Overcommitting would slow them down to chase us once we get back to the boats, because more of them are over there in that area and they're stuck there for a bit, so there's more confusion. Those would be kind of the bonuses we'd get from each.
That's more or less what I'm thinking about.
So, Michael, how about you go ahead and roll with creativity?
Okay. Plus zero to that, but that's a nine.
Okay, another success. So on a 7 through 9, pick one of these options. So for everyone listening here, Nick went over these as well, but they can pick one of these three. They stumble, take +1 forward to acting against them, and so these would be kind of like groups of generic pirates. They act foolishly. The GM tells you what additional opportunity they give you. Or three, they overcommit, they are deceived for some time. So which of those three are you going to be choosing, Michael?
I think I'm going to pick act foolishly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've set fire to some of the ropes, essentially. That's what I'm going to primarily target.
Okay.
Looking for some of the driest areas of those ropes so that it starts snapping things apart and potentially creating fires that lead towards the center of the mass.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is Pirate Albert, he went and he had alerted, two groups from the Pyre Howler, the ship from that Captain Ninka is in command of. And of those two groups, they start seeing these boats start like sailing away, and because of the ropes are going. And so actually what happens is these groups of pirates, they hop on to these boats to try and save them. What they forgot in their haste, though, is that if they're on the boats, there's no way that they can get them to like stay with the rest of the boat. So they are basically on these these broken ships starting to float away from the action. So I'd say that for the majority of those, of you fooled most of those people. So I'll let you continue to make your way to your ship.
I kind of wish that you had burned down the boats so we could have a cabbage boat.
Yes!
So there could be my cabbages! No cabbage merchant on these here. Maybe there's a radish trader or something on there. I don't know, but...
My radishes!
Alright. So with that, I think with Hanu helping Balbo expedite things, you guys are able to get onto your boat relatively without issue. What do you guys do next?
We gotta get out of here, right? We gotta get back to Fire Lord Zuko.
Make way, fastest way into Fire Nation waters.
She is all about results right now, so like, go, go, go! We gotta get out of here! Let's move!
Faster!
Alright, so as you guys are starting to make your way out here, you see a figure flanked by two other people walking your way. She's a slight figure who has black clothing adorned with some like red accents and whatnot. And you can only assume that this is High Captain Ninka, who, as a reminder, Captain Ninka is the newly appointed captain of the entire Crimson Isles, and specifically the captain of the Pyre Howler. The two people who are flanking Captain Ninka, she approaches your boat, and you guys haven't gone too far yet. Captain Ninka says, "Raldi, hop on their boat and stop them. They're getting away with the cargo." Raldri hops on the board, and he is your traditional pirate. He's got knives and has a scimitar as well, and basically adorned. He is the weapons master of the Pyre Howler. So he is aboard your ship, and he is indeed brandishing a knife. What would you guys like to? His scimitar as well as other knives. With Raldi aboard your boat, and then Ninka, Captain Ninka, as well as I'll just say it right now, it's her first mate, Fern.
Well, she better leave us alone.
Yes. What do you guys do with Raldi on your boat? Let's make it a little more fun. I'm gonna have both Raldi and Fern join aboard your boat.
How did they get here? We thought we were casting off. Okay.
They got here ahead of us.
They got here ahead of us. I see. I see. What would be very funny, and if we can make it work, if it was just one person, it'd be easier. But what would be very fun is if, especially G, could intimidate them, and we could help.
Okay.
So, just quick question: Are you wanting to engage them in? I mean, I think it's leaning towards this. Do you want to engage them in combat?
Yeah, if they're
that's what I was going to ask. Like, is this a combat exchange, or do we get to pick that?
I would say that I am leaning toward them coming to you in combat, but. If there's a way that you guys want to roleplay around it, you can, but I feel like we are leaning toward combat unless you want to do something to try and avoid it.
I was just hoping, like, the only picture I had to avoid it was, G walking forward with the fire and then Balbo, like, looming behind her, just because Balbo's just been shown up as, like, the terrifying thing that's been around the scene just as a... But it's more just, like, it would be a comedic beat rather than, like, the climactic moment, because if... We succeeded on intimidate. If we got a 10 plus, you could just say they run to escape and get back up. And so then they just leap off the ship and we run away. But I think it's combat.
Well, and in intimidate, I don't get to pick what they pick. I can, if I get a 10 plus, I pick one they cannot choose.
Oh, they cannot. I see. So you could keep them from attacking, but yeah.
So I think we're in combat.
Okay, sounds good. Then let me go ahead and decide what...
So Balbo is now just the monster in our back pockets.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't describe Fern. Fern is, what does it say, is wearing nondescript pirate clothing. You can't tell a whole lot about her at the moment. But okay. You can tell, like, she walks with a swagger of someone who's fairly important to the Pyre Howler.
That's a very good description. Good.
I know, right?
Yep, very nondescript.
That's great.
What's the descriptive?
It's like the worst adjective in the English language.
It is.
Nondescript.
Nondescript.
I have chosen my two characters are going to do. So now choose between the three options of defend and maneuver, advance and attack, evade and observe.
I think G is going to defend and maneuver.
I'm at three fatigue, so I think I have to evade and observe.
That makes sense.
I think I'm also going to advance and attack.
G, how many fatigue do you have?
I don't know if I had any from the last session.
Oh, yeah, you didn't have any from the last session because we traveled with Balbo.
Right, so I just have one.
My character is Raldi, the weapons master, is going to advance and attack as well. Hanu and Raldi are going to resolve that. And then Fern has chosen to defend and maneuver. So with that, Hannah, would you like me to go first or do you want to go first?
Don't we do defend and maneuver first?
Yeah, defend and maneuver first. So
we
that's G.
do defend and maneuver first. You're right. Let's do that first. So
is important.
Before we go further, just I was reading through the combat exchanges again. Just to let you know, Paul, NPCs always use a number of techniques equal to 1 plus their balance rating chosen by the DM.
Yep.
So you don't roll.
Correct. I did not roll.
I thought you did earlier, so I was confused.
Although I suppose I should choose a balance rating for these guys, so let me do that
real
quick.
Here's some dice, and here's a box.
Okay, I got a... that's part of the system here. The GM does not roll. So let's go ahead and defend and maneuver. So, Fern has chosen to defend and maneuver, as well as G. Michael, you have a preference for who goes first?
I guess it doesn't really matter to me.
All right, we'll do GM goes first here then. So, Let's go ahead and I think I'm going to ready. And with readying with Fern, Fern is actually a waterbender. And so what ready does, mark one fatigue to ready yourself or your environment, assigning a assigning or clearing a fictionally appropriate status of nearby characters or yourself. So what I'm envisioning Fern is going to do is she is being a pirate and knowing that the pirates are do well on the water, but you landlubbers might not do so well on it, is she is going to make your boat rock in the waves.
Hey! Stop stealing my ideas.
So she is going to intentionally make your boat move and sway by making the waves rock your boat more and make you guys a little bit uneasy here. We're going to make that you guys now have the doomed status. No, I'm kidding.
No!
How about this? Let's do... I feel like stunned... Yeah, I feel like stunned is appropriate for this. You're not trapped. You're not impaired. Well, I mean, impaired reads you're slowed or off balance. Mark one fatigue or take minus two to all physical actions or choose one fewer technique. How do you guys feel if Hanu was stunned? Because Hanu is a waterbender, so I think impaired might be a little bit too deep for that. But impaired, applying that to Zhi and He Jing.
And also Hanu was a previous pirate. She knows her way.
What do you guys think? Is that a fair way to distribute this? Is that too powerful?
I think it makes sense.
I think that makes sense for impaired, yeah. Stunned, doesn't that mean that Hanu skips this next turn?
You can't act or respond for a few seconds until you ready yourself.
Stunned is huge. That knocks out an exchange.
What do you think, Hannah? Would we put... Do you think impaired? Or maybe... How about we do impaired for Zhi and He Jing, and Hanu just doesn't take a negative status because she'd be used to it all.
Yep, she can adjust. That makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense in the lore. Okay.
Let's see if you can handle it.
Okay. Zhi, what are you doing to defend and maneuver?
Just really quick, I gotta decide if I'm taking a fatigue or a minus two.
So and also I like so actually I get two techniques with this, but I'll let you.
Great. Oh, true.
Yep. But if you want to roll, I should probably resolve mine first, and then you should roll for yours, right?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and do seize a position, I think. I'll pick retaliate. Steal yourself for their blows. Each time a foe inflicts fatigue, a condition, or shifts your balance in exchange, inflict one fatigue on that foe. So, I've chosen ready and retaliate, but Michael, if you have something that disrupts that, please go ahead.
I don't. So just really quick, the minus two to all physical actions for impaired, that would mean a minus two to this roll, right?
If it's a physical action, yes.
Then I'm going to mark a fatigue as a result of...
At least I'd say until your impaired is right. Cleared.
Yes. Okay. So I rolled a 6 plus 1, gives me a 7, so that's a success.
Whew. One basic or master technique.
I'm going to use my pinpoint aim technique. Take the time you need to line up a perfect shot. Become prepared in the next exchange. If you advance an attack, roll with focus or passion your choice. If you use strike, you do not have to mark fatigue to choose what you inflict.
Okay.
So I am prepared. See, now I wish I would have gone first, because then I could have just avoided being impaired. It would have canceled out impaired, but it's okay.
Okay. All right, so then defend and maneuver is resolved, yes?
Yep.
Now let's move on to resolving attack and advance. So that's going to be Raldi as well as Hanu. Hannah, so for this, what we're going to do is we're going to have you choose. Do you want to go first, or do you want enroll, or do you want Raldi to go first?
Let's have me.
Okay, go ahead and roll in.
That is a 10, 11 with passion.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a smash. So I mark one fatigue to destroy or destabilize something in the environment, possibly inflicting or overcoming a fictionally appropriate positive or negative status.
Okay, cool. So what's your idea with smash? What are you smashing?
I'm smashing the water to move the ship in a way that would sort of move us away from the docks.
Okay.
And destabilizing Fern and...
Ralby.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay. I'm with you there. So,
It might clear the impaired status, or it would give the impaired status to them.
Yeah, I could see. I could see that.
Kind of pseudo-leveling the playing field.
So, I'll let you choose, Hannah. Would you like to clear the impaired status of your comrades, or do you like to inflict impaired on your opponents?
Let's clear the status.
Okay. So go ahead and clear your status of impaired.
Does that restore the fatigue I marked?
Because of the order that we're doing this, I'm going to say no.
Okay. I didn't think so, but...
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah,
at least as far as I'm understanding, I'm going to say no for right now.
Turn.
That's fair.
So once we figure out what we're doing.
Yep, and then, yeah, go ahead. So you did that for Smash, so you are, so you're attacking the water. Assuming you go, like, toward the front of the ship, so, like, you're, like, nose-to-nose with Captain Ninka, and you do a powerful strike to the water. That actually does propel your boat away a little bit, and as you go away, you see some frustration on Captain Ninka's face as not only her crew members, which she's not that worried about, but the cargo is starting to float away. It's not away yet, but it's starting to go there. All right,
but it's far enough that you can't like jump on ship.
Okay, and so you only got one thing, or do you get two? What did you roll again? You rolled a 10. Okay, so with your 10, you get to choose basically to use another basic or a master technique. You get to do another advance and attack.
Okay, so I'm going to strike the other pirate.
Raldi. Okay.
And I'm going to shoot a whole bunch of icicle shards at him.
Okay, so are you choosing to...
Mark two fatigue.
You're going to mark a fatigue to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so Raldi takes two fatigue. Excellent, all right. Okay, so Raldi gets to do two things here, and being attacked by Hanu, we're going to attack back. So, what Raldi's going to do is, Raldi, being a weapons master, and I'm using this, this is coming from a weapons playbook, is going to use pinpoint thrust. Using a thrusting or stabbing weapon, go straight for the target with precision and accuracy. Mark one fatigue and inflict two fatigue and impaired on your foe. You may mark an additional fatigue to move yourself to a new position within reach immediately. Any foes engaged with you mark one fatigue to block. May mark one fatigue to block this movement. So this is going to be at Hanu. So I'm just gonna mark the one fatigue. I'm gonna inflict two fatigue and impaired on you, unless I don't see why you wouldn't do this. Any foes engaged with you may mark one fatigue to block this movement.
Oh, you could just mark a fatigue to block it.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm not taking two fatigue.
Huh. Yeah, so mark off a fatigue to block it if that's what you're choosing to do.
I pull up an.
It's kind of silly. That's really silly.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it?
I don't disagree. Take two fatigue or one. You get to choose.
It feels like there's a rule in there that should exist but doesn't, that the target cannot mark the fatigue to block it.
Okay, wait. Let me back this up here.
Yeah.
You may mark an additional fatigue to move yourself to a new position within reach immediately. Semicolon. Any foes engaged with you may mark one fatigue to block this movement.
So they can't block the attack, but they can block you moving.
Yes, and I'm not choosing to move, so you do have to take your second fatigue, and you are now impaired.
Yeah. Shoot.
Dying over here doing all the work. What does it take to put someone out of battle? Five fatigue or how many?
I think it's five fatigue and five statuses, I believe, for a regular person.
Five fatigue and five statuses.
Does that sound right to you guys?
Don't know if cumulative statuses knocks you out. It's five fatigue to be knocked out, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if collective status can knock you out. It's all, they all the statuses basically knock down fatigue, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Then Rald is going to use pressure to intimidate. We're going to say that G cannot advance an attack next round.
Is there a way I can block this? Is there a way I can block this?
Not that I know of.
Attack him harder.
What did you pick for your defensive maneuvers?
I did the pinpoint aim, and it's... So I'm prepared, but, like, prepared, I can prevent... Avoid marking a condition or add plus one to a roll. But this isn't a condition. It's just I can't use the approach.
Oh, did I say G? Yep. I meant Hanu. I meant Hanu. Sorry, okay. didn't mean to figure it. Hanu cannot advance or attack.
I feel like this turn is a little bit targeted.
Yeah, I mean, you attacked him first, sort of.
Rolf is engaged with you, is fighting with you. That's what's happening right now.
He came onto our ship.
Nick, evade and observe.
Yes, I grabbed out physical dice and rolled them and got a 6 and a 5. So that's either an 11 or a 12, depending on whether I'm using creativity
Could
or harmony.
Could you guys just, like, fail a roll here?
Could you just not attack us so hard?
No, so that was 11 or 12, so I get to do two. But, so first thing, bolster or hinder, and I'm going to suggest something that you're almost certainly going to say no to. So it's aid or impede a nearby character inflicting the appropriate status. He Jing is still holding the cargo, which you have stated multiple times is very heavy.
Yep.
Can I, one, shove Raldi off the edge of the ship and inflict the doomed status?
Yes!
That's quite harsh.
Or two, if that's too far, drop it on him and inflict the trapped status.
I like both of those.
All right, aid or impede a nearby character inflicting an appropriate status. So that's a pretty significant one that you're doing, but tell you what. What I'll let you do is, what we'll do is we'll have...
Overboard.
No, I like this. Overboard. And I don't think doomed is appropriate, because, like, sending a pirate over the edge into the water, that's not going to doom them.
Well, depending on the pirate, but there were lots and lots of pirates in history that couldn't swim, but...
Either, I'd say, like, you can push it, so, like, I'm okay with, like, Raldi being hit by this, because he's so focused on Hanu, so you are trying to slide this cargo to knock him off and into the water. I like this. Is this trapped? Like, he gets knocked off, so he's trapped in the water, and if he wants to rejoin the fray, he has to mark a combination of three conditions or fatigue to rejoin, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or stunned. Or stunned, or so he's knocked off, basically takes him out of the next combat exchange. What do you think is more appropriate?
Of the two, stunned is probably more appropriate. I want trapped, because he already has three fatigue, which means I'm nearly knocking him out, but...
I think stun makes most sense in the fiction.
So He Jing has been holding this and is, like, preparing to go, and so he just throws, just shifts it to one side and sends Raldi just bowling off of the ship.
So,
and then I have...
Second here. Raldi has been striking and attacking Hanu and says, "Oh, I'm gonna get you here, waterbender. Nobody steals from the Pyre Howler and Captain Ninka." And he turns and his eyes go wide, like, "Hey, what's going on here?" And tops over and splashes and goes, does the Wilhelm scream into the water. All right, Nick, what are you going to do for your other evade and observe?
Yeah, the second one, because neither of these are useful. Commit and test balance. They just aren't for this combat.
I mean, commit is at least neutral, right?
Do they have to be two different ones?
Yep, use two different basic or master techniques, it says on the...
Okay.
On the, if you roll a 10+, if you look at the stance gotcha. Move. So, I think I'm going to commit... Because at least I don't lose the fatigue I just gained back. I was already one towards roll. I'll shift to seconds towards roll because we're fighting people. So overthrowing tyrants, serving and defending rightful rulers, all of that makes sense. So I'll just shift a seconds move towards roll again. I say, feel free to say no, but Raldi just got shot off the ship. We're not doing terribly. Ninka's attack was immediately foiled, and things are going functioning fairly well. Would this be an injunction where you could try to say, hey, cut your losses, essentially?
Roleplay it, and we'll see what the appropriate role is.
I want to fight.
if G's against it, then G's against it. That and so that wouldn't be it. But yeah, He Jing, especially thinking in role, would be kind of like, you stole this, we took it back, this can end now. Or it can end with you leaving the ship another way.
Okay, hold on. I think I like this, because G is sitting here, aiming, taking a pose. She appears to be aiming... What's the person's name who's on here now?
Fern.
Okay, yeah, so I'm aiming at Fern there, too. Showing some restraint.
So that was actually strength there. So He Jing would actually say this, to go back to it. You are alone on this. Your captain has seen one of her subjects leave the ship. You can leave the same way. You will leave the same way. The choice is willingly or unwilling.
Roll and intimidate, which is with passion.
Yes, so someone help me, because I have no passion. He Jing is passionless.
Well, it's after the roll, so we see if it's successful or not.
Okay, let me roll that first. Yes, so, yeah, because He Jing is passionless. His passion is -1.
Okay, you're going to roll like a 12 anyway, so.
Could you do maybe a live up to your principle?
8, so down to 7. So I did get a... I did succeed, barely.
Great. So, with intimidate and on hit, I, as the NPC, I choose one of these following options. They run to escape or get backup. They back down but keep watch. They give in with a few stipulations. They attack you, but off balance, the GM marks a condition on them. And... what Fern does here is Fern considers the options here and looks at the scenario and says, you know what? Not worth it. And she just kind of does a back dive off the back of the boat. And she swims away back toward the docks.
The moment, I mean, the very instant that Fern back dives off and He Jing's face is out of her sight, he just The cargo lands with a thump, and He Jing sits down and is like, can someone get us to solid ground as soon as possible, please?
All right, so I assume you guys are starting to go away?
Yes.
I don't think we're the ones running the ship, so...
As you're going here, Captain Ninka, she's infuriated by what happened here. She is... Raldi, what happened? Just go after them! And she just kind of scowls at Fern, and Fern, as she waterbends herself back to the dock, and just kind of shrugs her shoulders, I was outnumbered. What do you expect? So she's furious. But as you guys roll away, Captain Ninka orders two firebenders and herself. She says, attack that ship! It can't get away! Launch fireballs at them! There.
I've been, holding on to this, itching for a time that I can use this. And I think now is the time. Great. It's one of my moves. It's called This Was a Victory.
Okay.
As she had set fire to various things, she's going to be looking over, kind of still posing and thinking I'm pretty sure I set fire to that dock.
Yes!
And yes, the fire is spreading in, and it's going to just cause the dock to collapse right as they're about to... That's what I'm hoping. I have to roll still as they're about to fire. That's what I'm going for. So I'm going to roll... I'm going to mark fatigue. I have to mark fatigue and roll passion. And I'm prepared, so I can add +1 to this one. Also.
Yes.
Yes, that's a 12 altogether.
Yes!
Another one of those.
Excellent. So as the firebenders come, including Captain Ninka, they gear up to fire these attacks. They are about ready to launch them. Their palms are ready to shoot forward. The pillars holding up the dock collapse, and they all fall into the water. And High Captain Ninka is just so furious. She's doused. Everyone's doused, and she with the whole Crimson Isles burning around her. She just slams her fist in the water, and she glares as the boat goes off into over the horizon, and thinks, "Not sure who you are, but you're gonna pay once I find out." Smash cut to the back to the Fire Nation, back to the Royal Palace. You guys have brought the cargo to Fire Lord Zuko. Zuko says, he says, "Ah, my friends, thank you so much for bringing me this cargo. This is invaluable. We'll make sure that it gets to the Fire Nation expediently." And he waves for some servants to come and help him out to take care of that. Hanu, do you have something to say?
You got the cargo, and I made more enemies than I needed.
Minimum of casualties, not too much to report.
I believe we've done you proud, Fire Lord.
There was a surplus of fire, but I kind of expected that.
It is very glorious.
And what is the status of these pirates of the Crimson Sails? Are they do I have to worry about them some more, or what's going on with them?
They're likely still active. I don't believe any of us gave the name of who we were doing this for or why. Therefore, they may not seek direct reprisal against you, but it seems unlikely that they will cease their actions at this point. They may have a small setback, but not too much.
I don't think you have to worry about them, but they don't seem pleased with us.
I'll have to see what part of the Navy I can use to defend against them. But at least for the time being, this has been retrieved, and relations with the Earth Kingdom will still continue as we do this. So I thank you all very much for your help and discretion on this, and your actions will not be forgotten by the Fire Nation anytime soon. And do you guys recall, out of character comment, do you recall, did Zuko promise you anything for doing this?
I don't remember myself.
I think we broke the cardinal rule of adventurers and didn't ask for compensation.
I think maybe it should be like a big compensation for things. I don't know. I like the money.
Because that's the thing, like, Xi is obsessed and so wouldn't ask for anything.
Yeah.
He Jing is like a wandering itinerant judge and so doesn't think to ask for anything. So we're already got 2/3 of the people just like, I guess we'll do it.
And Hanu's a babysitter.
what we'll say here is that Fire Lord Zuko has prepared a small reward for you for your actions with this, and thanks you, and just assures you that if you need him for anything, as you said, the Fire Nation also has your back. All right, and that ends the episode. Cue the ending music. That's the game there, folks.
Woo!
So, thank you all for joining us. This was Avatar Legends, and I hope to do something more with this in the future. Maybe it'll be a Patreon exclusive in the future. I don't know. We'll see. But I was glad that we were able to play this, and I was able to get some experience with GMing this stuff. Any comments from any of the three of you on this game?
This was a fun system to learn. It seems like there's a lot that I don't know yet, but...
So yeah, the biggest thing that I see looking at the mechanics is that thinking of an exchange as purely combat might be making it difficult. It seems like, especially for things like evade and observe and a couple of the other ideas of if there was verbal combat or debate or things that were considered an exchange as well, those would get more play. But I also wonder if understanding how the moving up and down your what's it called the balance of the principles, that seems like a key mechanic, but I don't really understand how it fits.
It is,
and so understanding,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm understanding what it's for and why would do.
Yeah, I think that's so for a one-off like this or something like this. That's probably not the balance track. Is more like, I think that's like bigger character development type stuff. And
that makes sense.
In one shot, that's not really going to happen a whole lot. So
nope. I have an epilogue scene if we have time for it.
go ahead and say what you think, and we'll see if it makes the final cut.
Alright. Casting. So, I think that Kohala would be at the banquet with all the other characters, and he just pickpockets one of the officials, and then Hanu just slaps him on the hand and says, go return that.
Maybe he does. We'll have to look at Kohala again here, but... Thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestryradio.org/PokemonRollout, on Twitter at PokerollPodcast, or X, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/Pokerollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Tap Room, and as long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join in the conversation with creators and fans and become part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Also, follow our network on Twitter at Tapestry Radio and check out some of our other great shows at tapestryradio.org, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thanks to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check out the show notes for other music and sound effects used in the episode. Once again, I'm Paul, and you can follow me on Twitter at ProfSnag.
I'm Michael. You can follow me at MGLILIENTHAL.
I'm Nick. I'm technically at PokeRollNick. I don't know if I've posted there in a very long time, but I'm technically still there.
I think we're all technically still there, yeah.
And I'm Hannah, and I do not have any social media.
Woo!
That is better for mental health for the most part.
Stay clean. Stay clean. I'll just speak for Eileen. I don't think she has any clever things to say right now. Maybe she does. I don't know. But you can follow her on Twitter at BehindYourEyeli. That's behind your EYELI. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollout, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeRollPodcast. Get some sweet rewards. And a special thank you to all of our patrons. We got Dr. Odno, Kyle Albert, Peter Statmule, and Mueller, Andrew Case, Micah Greenspoon, David Harshman, Taylor Bonaforte, Michael Escoblad, Zach Parsons, Jeffrey Show, Casey DeFritas, Froxus, Andrew Weil, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Legendary Starlink, Scotty Newton, Urson93, Terry Fowl, Julia Egan, Vincent Nazarishin, Lauren Paulson, Nathan Hamilgarn, Lance, Big Fat Nuke, Stephanie Reinauer, Warren the Patronizer, Autumn in April Art, Daniel Mabry, the gaming motion artist, Magical Girl in Training, Justin Brennan, and Ricky Jenkins. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough. We appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto
offered
you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
TapestryRadio.org.
From our fancy to yours.